Now back to the Green Architects Lounge.
So we often talk about crunchy green versus sexy green.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, yeah.
The crunchy green, let's say, is a...
Well, I've said this before, you know, the threshold test is if you ask them, well, how do you feel about composting toilets? And if they are actually interested in hearing what you have to say about it, then you've got yourself a crunchy green right there.
Yeah.
That's a crunchy green person. But if they're like, well, hey, I was, then you know where they are.
Pretty so, much. So here's what we do in our showroom.
Yeah.
We'll put two doors side by side. They'll both go into the bathroom. But we'll say, oh, on the left is a composting toilet. Oh. And on the right is a flush toilet. And we'll see where they go. We'll know what we're going to sell
that
them.
That is fantastic. That is fantastic.
They went to the left. Whip out the solar hot water literature.
Yeah. Nice. That's great.
Like that.
So what are we talking about cost? Because here's the big deal.
Oh, you know, let me back up just a minute.
Yeah.
Not all wood boilers need thermal storage tanks.
Oh, really?
If you don't have the thermal storage tank, you're really running your wood boiler between November and March. You're not running it in the shoulder seasons. You're not running it in the summer.
Am I running something else?
Well, your backup system. Okay. Some of our clients will have a wood stove that runs in the shoulder seasons.
I see.
So are you saying you might not need a backup system if you get the
You know, you always need a backup.
Okay.
And it's prudent, and the insurance companies and the banks are all going to want to, because you're going to want to go away for a week at some point and not worry about your house freezing up.
And it doesn't have to be extreme or robust, but something to save you if it's...
The one we just finished with the mechanical room that had an electric boiler. Why spend all money, you know, cheap electric boiler? Just there for that 1 week they go away. So if you don't have a thermal storage tank, it costs a whole lot less.
Because it's cycling on and off more?
Well, it's less equipment is why it costs less, but it's a little less efficient, and you're also tending it every 3 hours irregardless. You're not getting to go down once a day and fill it. You're playing with it more. It's a more active experience.
Or regardless, as opposed to irregardless.
Which is which?
Irregardless is not a word.
What do you mean?
Oh my gosh.
I just used it.
Yeah.
It must be a word.
It must be a word then. So moving on.
Irregardless of this conversation.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
My question is distribution. Tell us a little bit about that.
Oh yeah.
Any type of distribution works fine.
Really? So
hydronic.
But it's coming off as water, right?
It's coming off as water.
So you're doing water to air, or you're doing water hydronic in some way.
Yeah, there has never been a distribution system we couldn't attach to. So if you've got forced air, we can put a coil in a forced air system. If you've got baseboard, we can do that. Radiant floors actually work really well because they let you pull the tank down further and empty the tank.
Hmm.
But distribution is not an issue. The only time it can be a problem is if a house is really under distributed. You really want to be able to run 150 degree water.
Mm-hmm. I see.
So.
Well, and that about the lowered tank, that brings up maintenance. What kind of maintenance is one expecting? You know, because these things are heavy. I mean, this is not something that you would... I mean, they go in the basement. They don't go on the third floor attic or anything like that. So, we don't have to get into the weight of these things, but...
How much maintenance on the system?
Yeah, yeah. Like, what am I going to... If I own...
They're really robust. They, on the tank, mm-hmm. with the thermal storage tank, once a year you check the pH and you check the water level, and you have to add, like, a little, you know, 20, 30 gallons of water. So once a year you do that. Mm-hmm. But the boilers, you have to clean them. And different boilers are cleaned in different ways, and they can be easy or hard to clean. But once a cord of wood, you need to open it up, scrub it out. And the new fancy ones you clean by shaking a lever. The older ones, you've got to open some wing nuts, and it takes about 10 minutes.
Gotcha.
Compared to feeding them, cleaning them's a small task.
All right. Good. Well, I say we take a short break, and when we come back, we'll get into pellet boilers.
Woohoo!
And then we'll see if there's anything else we can add. Stay tuned, everybody.
You're listening to the Green Architects Lounge podcast, hosted by Chris Briley and Phil Kaplan. Chris is the principal architect at the Green Design Studio in Yarmouth, Maine, and Phil is a principal of Kaplan Thompson Architects in Portland, Maine. The theme music is Zelda's Theme by Perez Prado. If you'd like to request a topic for the program, would like to comment on a previous episode, or if you just want to let us know you're listening, Chris and Phil would love to hear from you. You can email them at galounge@yahoo.com. Now back to the Green Architects Lounge.
And we're back.
Hey!
Hey, we're back. Okay. Also, I should mention that we are available on the Green Building Advisor, greenbuildingadvisor.com. You go to the Design Matters blog.
Wait a minute.
Yes?
I'm sorry.
Yes?
How do people find you? Didn't they already do this?
Oh, no. They find us. They can find us on iTunes, the Green Architects Lounge. Yeah.
Okay.
You missed Julie saying you were drinking.
Sorry,
you were out while she was out giving us that little intro. Blurbage. But anyway, but we can also be found.
I thought you were telling them how to get to you and they'd already gone. You know what I'm saying?
Well, there is that.
You're listening to us.
Yeah, they'd already found us.
Here's how you found us.
Yeah.
So listen. Sorry. No, that's okay.
I'm the wood boiler
guy. That's a good point.
Let's. You know what?
Go ahead.
You just stick to boilers.
I know. I'm sorry. Go.
I'll do this microphone thingy here. Okay. So let me try this again. So a fun place. You can get a hold of us, as Julie said, at galounge@yahoo.com. Or you can wait till this airs at the Green Building Advisor. And you can join in on the conversation, give your own two cents, ask those awesome questions. I'll be feeding Pat these questions that you put in there, and we can start the conversation. It'll get all
funky
and smoky and great.
And one thing to mention, that a number of people have written in with some suggestions of things that we should cover
in the
shows. So please feel free to do that, because we listen to you and we take this very seriously. You know, we're always looking for more stuff.
That's right.
No one's cut us off yet, so we're going to keep going.
That's right. That's right. We'll keep going until, you know, we drop from inebriation. All right. So so we're back, and so now let's shift the conversation. We talked about wood. You know, we talked about logs as a fuel source. But what, Pat, what if I'm tired? Well, I don't want to schlep the logs.
I don't
want
to schlep these logs.
But I love the idea of everything you just said. I love the renewability of wood.
Is that a word, dude? If we're Mr. Wordsmith, all Mr. Right, Webster's dictionary.
Hey, I said it. Deal with it. Deal with it. So, okay. What did, I don't even. Okay, so I'm tired. I don't want to schlep the logs.
Right.
Isn't there a way, Pat? That,
well, it's funny you mentioned it.
Isn't it?
Yes, yeah. Because have you ever considered a wood pellet boiler?
You mean the little thing that's like a wood stove?
Yes, they have pellet boilers that burn them.
Yeah. Only down in the basement?
Down in the basement, central, hydronic, you know, automated systems.
Oh, but then I got to schlep all the pellets, don't I?
Not anymore.
Really?
Yeah. Mm. So, okay, let me back up just a little bit and say that.
Let's do that.
At some point, somebody said to them, so they just said this, the exact same thing. What if I don't want to, isn't there a different way to burn wood? So they came up with the idea of wood pellets, which are nothing more than sawdust,
mm-hmm.
which is passed through an extruder, which is these big drums with holes on the outside, and they crush the wood, the sawdust, and push it through these holes. And as they get pushed through the holes, the lignin in the wood gets squirted out of the cell. It gets crushed, and that's what gives it a sheen and holds it together. So you have this.
So can you do that with leaves? I'm kidding. Previous podcast. Moving on. Ignore me. Ignore me. Keep going.
But that's what the sheen is from.
That's what the sheen is from.
I did not know.
Yeah, because everybody.
Do they polish these things?
Yeah, and everybody thinks they put a little petroleum on them to hold them together. No, that's just the lignin from the wood.
Interesting.
So the whole idea of pellets, like, why would you do this?
Right.
Right. Is there's a couple of things. One is when you make the wood into sawdust, you can then dry it really effectively and easily. And you, like for cordwood, nice dry firewood is 20% moisture content. For pellets, it's down around 7%. So you can get a lot of the moisture out. That makes it burn more efficiently on site. It makes it easier to transport. And it makes it, when you densify it, when you squish it back together again, you can ship it more easily because now it's much smaller, about a half the volume in wood pellets as in cordwood.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. So if I decide, hey, I want to, is it the same technology? It's also a gasification process, is it not?
Well,
for firing the pellets.
Remember what gasification did was had multiple zones.
Yeah.
For most pellet boilers, they don't have separate combustion chambers, mm-hmm. but for technical reasons that we don't need to get into, they have, usually there'll be one chamber that has a combustion zone and then a secondary combustion zone and then a heat extraction chamber. So usually they're two chamber boilers as opposed to three, but they still do the same thing. They get up to really high temperatures, get all the energy out of the wood, and then suck it all out.
And so will it yield about the same kind of exhaust as the gasification, or will it be slightly more...
A little cleaner. Fewer particulates, mm-hmm. higher... a really good wood boiler has about the same thermal efficiency as a really good pellet boiler, but it's easier to get good efficiencies out of a pellet boiler than a wood boiler. And the other thing about the fuel is it's uniform, mm-hmm. so it's easy to, you can design an auger system to transport it because you know it's only going to be so fat, it's only going to be so long, it's going to have certain properties that are knowable.
Mm-hmm. Now speak a little bit about the auger system.
Right.
So within...
You don't open this up and dump shovelfuls of this in.
Well, you
and
can.
It in the same way.
You can. There's a whole, this is an important thing to know about pellet boilers. There's a huge range of how automated the boilers are. When you think about what a boiler does, it can transport the fuel or not. It can ignite itself or not. Mm-hmm. And it can clean itself or not. And boilers have, different boilers have, some have all those things automated. And it can de-ash itself or not, take the ashes out of the boilers. The completely automated boilers have a truck that pneumatically blows pellets into a bin, and then the boiler pulls the pellets out of the bin, either through an auger or a vacuum system. Mm-hmm. They all combust the pellets, but some of the boilers will turn themselves on and off. Others, you do that manually. Some of the boilers clean themselves. Others, you do it manually.
Like
and some
cat.
Of them... Exactly. Mm-hmm. And some pull the ashes right outside.
Mm-hmm. So, but my guess, and tell me if I'm wrong, your market with the pellet boilers, like you said, are the people who say, I like the idea of wood, but it's a little too much work. The pellet boilers, I imagine, that people are more interested in are the ones that do most of this work for you, but still you get the advantage of wood.
Yeah, it's interesting. These are really relatively new in the market, so we don't have enough of a record to know which way they're going to go. Hmm. Coming up in the marketplace, we have a boiler that is bulk fed, so you don't have to carry pellets into your basement. Those are blown into a hopper in the basement. They're transported from the hopper to the boiler automatically. Once a week or once every other week, you'll go down to the boiler and shake a little lever. It'll literally take 2 minutes. Less, it'll take 5 seconds. You'll just go boom, boom,
you're knocking ash.
Yeah, there's a mechanism inside. You're knocking the ash down. And once a month, maybe 6 weeks, you got to open the boiler and pull the ash out. That boiler costs about $7,000 less than a boiler that does those two things for you.
Wow. I know which one I'm choosing.
Yeah,
me too.
Exactly.
Me too. Until like
the more expensive one. Right? I'm busy. I'm earning money at the office.
Oh my gosh, I was thinking the opposite.
I was playing with you.
I think that's going to be where the market is. Like, you know, yeah, you can have it completely automated, and some people are going to want to, or you can have it a little bit of interaction, save a bunch of money, and the boilers we have a. For the last 8 years, we've been selling a really nice boiler that you had to bag feed automatically. You had to de-ash and you had to clean. And guess what? We didn't sell that many of those. Mm.
The Okafin?
No, that's the
what was the P4?
Baxi Multiheat, it's called.
Oh, okay.
All right, let's try to cover all the things that we did with the wood boiler, because in my mind, I want to see these things
side by side. Which
what
one
does
do you
it
want?
Look like? So you've added a hopper, but you've gotten rid of the actual... cord of wood sitting
right.
in my basement.
Right. It doesn't look that much bigger than an oil boiler. It's a little bigger than an oil boiler.
The hopper is.
No, the boiler itself.
Oh, okay.
The hopper, you want to size your hopper for probably no more than 4 deliveries a year. And so a ton of pellets mm-hmm. is about, it's 40 pounds per cubic foot. Is one way to do the math.
40 pounds per cubic foot.
Trying to get my head around that.
Yeah, I got
and
it.
And about, 4 by 4 by 5 mm-hmm. is about what a ton is. Mm-hmm. So a house that burns 900 gallons of oil would burn 8 tons of pellets.
So you wouldn't want to have a hopper any less than 2 tons. You'd probably want it closer to 4 tons.
And you'd get a couple refills throughout the year.
Yeah. And so a 4-ton hopper is going to be,
So a truck drives up. He takes out this hose that's like the oil hose, only much thicker.
Yep.
Static line, so it doesn't ignite any dust or anything like that. Plugs it onto the big fitting that you have on your house.
Yep.
And then he just turns it on and it blows pellets into your hopper.
Yep. That's
Does it whistle?
It doesn't hum. It's more like hum.
It hums. Well, you know how the oil...
tune? All right.
No, like the oil, you know, like they sit there, it's whistling, so they know when it's full. Never mind.
All right. Now, I have a question.
Yeah.
You mentioned that. About noise?
Of the boilers?
Yeah.
Oh, that's...
No, the boilers themselves are much quieter than an oil boiler. You don't have that same... The fans are much more gentle. And you don't have, like, an oil boiler's got that. You don't have that with a pellet boiler. Quiet.
Mm-hmm. I guess another question would be, how about dust? Because someone's going to worry about that. I've got this hopper, and this truck is going to blow sawdusty pellets into my basement.
Yeah.
And it's very similar to, like, the old days of coal boilers, where a truck comes in, only instead of just, like, open air, it's contained. Yeah. Am I right?
If it's done well, it's right. There's all different kinds of hoppers.
Mm-hmm. What are you using?
Well, we're kind of settling into figuring out the decision tree where it makes sense to use which, but we've used metal hoppers. We've used plywood hoppers that you build on site. We've used cloth hoppers. We've designed a couple of hopper rooms,
mm-hmm.
which have an auger on the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
So the cloth hoppers are cool because they're designed for the purpose and you only need one hose. So you blow the pellets in and the hoppers let air out but don't let dust out.
Like a vacuum bag, basically.
Like a vacuum bag.
Got it.
And those are slick.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay, another question. Does this have to sit in conditioned space?
Mm.
No, not at all. No, silos. We've just designed our first 2 silo systems. Oh, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So they sit outside.
But the boiler probably...
The Germans do that. Isn't that where that came from?
Yeah. And you know, we get our silos from agricultural supply houses, so it's just...
Nice. So it's just a regular old silo.
Just regular old silo.
I see an architectural opportunity there.
Chris. Me too. Me too.
Oh.
Yeah, you know, house with the silos up front, you know. It's just
we were talking about that for one of the jobs. I said, well, we can build a nice building and make one of these silo rooms. It's going to be really expensive, and you'll have to build a building for it, or we can just buy a hopper. It's, you know, $7,000, you're done. And they were like, ooh, we don't know, like, the way it looks.
I'll hire an architect. We'll make it look great.
Well, I suggested they tape pine needles to it. Just a lot of
like
glue.
I said, hire an architect and we'll help you out.
Pine needles.
Yeah. Right? It's in the woods to kind of blend in a little bit. I thought it looked
great. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, yeah, a little camouflage. Right. Kind of, okay.
We all have
so
our
the conditioned space question.
The boiler. Yeah. Should that be in conditioned space?
No. So for one of these, and again, you know, we haven't done a ton of these. We've done, you know, 2 dozen. Mm-hmm. Of the old school types, and
that's,
you know,
24. Yeah.
Like 5 of the fully automated types. So we've designed our first district heating system.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the one that the hopper is outside, and that boiler will be in a room all by itself. Mm-hmm. And it'll be antifreezed and it'll pipe heat underground.
I see. Okay.
So yeah, most boilers can have antifreeze in them. It depends on the heat exchanger. Mm-hmm. Gas boilers, you don't want to put too much, or like modulating condensing gas boilers don't want to have too rich a mixture of antifreeze.
And okay. Is the quality of the fuel with pellets, is that a consistent
thing? Yeah, it's a good question. And the way to think about it is, it's not the quality of the fuel, it's a combination of the quality of the fuel and the appliance that's burning it.
Mm-hmm.
So you can, a boiler that's, the issues are going to be, bad fuel creates a lot of ash because it has a high amount of ash content. And the other big issue is pellets that have a lot of minerals, and that the minerals that are in them have a low melting point,
mm-hmm.
will can form clinkers.
Hmm.
So the ash solidifies. And if you've ever seen one of these, they look like lunar rocks. They're crazy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But that's if your boiler is able to deal with those, it really doesn't matter. And that's one of the places where it's tricky, because, you know, I can only look at technology and ask myself, how's this going to do for a decade? You know, what's going to happen if you put...
Because there's no one you can call, because you don't speak German.
Right.
Yeah. Exactly.
Well, I don't know. Do you speak German?
No, I don't. Oh. I have a partner who speaks German.
Oh, that
helps. Well, this brings me a little bit to my hot dig.
Oh, yeah.
So that's it for this part of the episode. Tune in next week for more Green Architects Lounge podcast. A quick reminder that our music is Zelda's theme by Perez Prado, and that our views and drinking habits do not necessarily reflect those of the Green Building Advisor. Thanks for tuning in, everyone, and keep up the good work.